model. We are fully insured and a Better Business Bureau A-plus accredited business. Stop in our showroom today, 880 Highway 73 South, or check us out online, comfortair.biz. Comfort Air, heating, cooling, plumbing, whatever it takes.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small-town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Eye Weather Center.
This afternoon, skies will be mostly sunny with a south wind at 5 to 15, and we'll be seeing our temperatures make it into the middle 20s. Throughout tonight, we'll be seeing our skies become cloudy with the wintry mix developing. Winds will be out of the south 5 to 15 and lower 20s. And then on Saturday, we'll be seeing cloudy skies throughout the day with our winds out of the southwest 5 to 15. Highs will reach into the upper 30s. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatrow.
It's mostly sunny and 11 in Wausau, 15 in Marshfield, sunny and 12 in Stevens Point, and mostly sunny and 15 here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thanks again, Jerry, and welcome back, everybody, to today's show on AM 1320 and WFHR.com. It's time for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. You can reach your local investment professionals at 715-422-0700. Our topic today is a checklist for year-end moves by you investors. And with that, we welcome Professor Bry to the classroom.
Good morning. Good, nice cold day.
Oh, boy, was it cold this morning when I was up real early.
Well, let's hope that this is a false signal.
I hope so.
If it gets worse than this, we'll forget last winter.
we'll be lamenting. Last winter wasn't that bad.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Hey, good start for the basketball team at UW and the football team.
What's most encouraging as I look at it is to see the work that they've put in. Decker gained weight and Hayes lost weight and Kaminsky shaped his body up, and so I think they're very focused, they're very unselfish, they're very skilled, and they got a really good schedule. They'll be time tested and stuff, so it'll be an exciting year.
Yeah, and good times on the football field as well. It's a lot of fun going on in Madison.
Yeah, I just got one side note. Having been and saw from 68 to 93 when the Packers didn't make the playoffs but once, and the Rodgers didn't go to the Rose Bowl.
Well, heck, if they won a game, it was big.
And weren't in the NCAA, we are really spoiled. We shouldn't take it for granted that we're seeing so much quality.
That's right. Well, Pete, it's that time of the year where people are getting records together or wondering what should I be doing as we get set to wrap up the year 2014 and turn the page to 2015.
Yeah, and I think the assumption that they are getting records together may not be the correct assumption. My experience over 32 years of doing that is, April 15th.
And then all of a sudden, it's
now March. I better start getting my things done. And that's why I thought we should talk a little bit about this, because there's still time to at least analyze your situation and see, what things can be done to maybe save you a few dollars tax-wise or prevent you from having to pay more or maybe do some good things where you can take that money instead of giving an Uncle Sam, keep it under your control in an account. So.
Okay. Well, I guess when we talk about investments, people look at gains and losses and how they're going to affect their taxes or how they can minimize the tax impact of either.
Yes, and I think there's, that's kind of a two-edged sword. Obviously, if you've taken gains, then I think there's things to be done, all right? I don't think you necessarily sell to take gains if you really, if the investment, you like the investment and you think over time it's going to continue to be a good investment. But, you know, over the course of the year, and obviously we had that volatile little two or three, or maybe even a month period of time where the world was ending once again. And so I'm sure there was some selling going on. But, you know, the idea here is, the capital gains is a situation whereby sometimes you can do things that kind of keeps you in the same position, but yet you can take some losses. And by that I mean oftentimes in individual stocks, and especially relevant this year would be the oil stocks, which just cratered in October. But long term, I think oils, we're probably still going to be putting oil and using oil and et cetera, et cetera. So that, you know, if you bought some of these at 20-30% higher and you believe in the company and they got a good balance sheet, you can buy more down here and wait 31 days and basically sell what you had. So essentially, in that type of situation, you're in the same position you currently are in.
Okay.
But instead of having a cost basis that is 20 points higher, you have it 20 points lower, and then you have that loss to offset any particular gains that you have. But today being the 21st, and you take out 31 days from here, you know, that gets you towards the end of the year. So you don't have a lot of time to be able to take advantage of it. The other way you can do it is you could sell your shares now and pray that they don't go to the moon by the time you're eligible to buy it back and things. So the oil stocks are kind of firming up here and stuff. So that would be an example. But you could do it with a variety of different things that you were in on the individual stock side. And, you know, for those that don't know, you can take a maximum of $3,000 loss. You offset your gains, and if you can take up to $3,000 more in loss. And so, if for, you know, the losses are valuable, and you should use them strategically, because if you're in a 30% bracket, it saves you $1,000 in taxes. All right,
and that's serious money.
Yeah, you know, and again, some of this is pretty effortless, and it's just a matter of either having an advisor, a tax advisor, a financial advisor, or you being aware of these things and seeing where you can maybe save yourself some money. Because you know, my theory was always it's a better in my pocket and Uncle Sam's pocket, but you know, some guys might argue that. But so you've got that element, all right. So looking at how many gains you have this year, is there anything you have in losses that you could use to offset those losses, not only in stocks but in bonds? You know, you can sell a bond, take the proceeds, buy another bond, so basically have a similar bond, similar income, but you have that loss that you can offset. So those are two places in the, if you own individual securities, that you want to be aware of and do a good scan of that type situation. Now, the other thing that happens, and I think veteran investors know that because they've been surprised once or twice, in that, you know, the mutual fund season year ends at the end of October. And mutual funds are mandated to distribute their gains.
Okay.
So you can have a, you know, your fund's up and you're having a great year, and, you know, if you don't pay attention, you know, you get your statement at the end of the year and you've got a capital gain of 10% of your portfolio, or X percent.
All right. Right.
And so by now, you should be able to either contact your advisor, contact the particular funds you're in, because their distributions are pretty much known by now. And so, it, again, being aware of how much potential distribution you're going to get, and is it going to be long-term and or short-term, allows you to, A, maybe then do something to offset it by taking a loss somewhere, or it may tells you that, boy, you know, that Christmas money maybe should be a little less so I have enough money to pay my taxes come April 15th. So, and that's one that kind of is easy to sneak by. You know, you get caught up in the holidays and year end
right.
and all that stuff. So if you own mutual funds outside your IRA accounts, because obviously anything inside your retirement accounts aren't taxed, you know, you should definitely get a handle on what the distributions are going to be and then how you want to handle it.
Okay, okay. And then I guess, how much can you write off?
Well, again, you can write up, you net your gains versus your losses.
Okay.
And then if you have up, you can write off each year up to $3,000.
Okay.
Then if you have, say, you know, in 2007 and 2008 when people panicked, you know, I'm sure it wasn't unusual to have maybe $25,000, $50,000, $75,000, again, depending on the size of your portfolio in losses. And so, you can then write those losses off till they're gone. And so even though you can only do $3,000 a year, you don't lose that loss. They carry forward, which then gets into another strategy of if you've got a big capital loss, you know, you can be a little more aggressive in taking your gains because they're tax-free.
Okay.
You know, if you've got all that loss built up and, you know, you have a great run and in 3 months you're up, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% in something, taking it, traditionally would, I got to pay the taxes. Well, if you have these losses, you can offset those losses by your gains. So, you know, it's a strategic and there's a game within the game on these gains and losses, but knowing what you have, And obviously should always go into your planning on selling, buying, and strategic investment strategies.
And before we go to break, that leads to the question, you kind of touched on it right there. Is that the one of the mistakes you see people make is that they don't strategically plan or they don't understand this game, as you said, game within a game of, you know, offsetting gains and your losses, you know, how...
You know, it varies. I think...
Or what's the biggest mistake you think people make in this area?
Well, I think realizing you're getting a big mutual fund distribution.
Yeah, not paying attention to your records.
And that happens because, it's one of those, you look at your statement, and especially if you're doing a lot of... You're managing your own account. I mean, it's easy. Oh, my God, I didn't get a notice, and all of a sudden I'm getting this big gain. How'd that happen? But, well, you know, every year, if they've got gains, they've got to distribute their gains. And part of that volatility, if you remember us talking about this when the market in October was crazy, we talked about, you know, there was a lot of influences going on. And part of those influences was a lot of the mutual fund companies were selling, taking their gains to kind of lock in their returns so that they had this beautiful return record for 1 year, 3 year, 5 year. And there's some dynamics like that really have nothing to do with the quality of the company, the prospects of the company. It has a lot to do with we want to be in the top quartile. We want to be in the top 10%. We want to show double-digit return.
Sure. And it's so, marketing.
Yeah, so it's easy to do that. And then I think the whole thing about selling some of your individual taking losses or averaging down and selling the high, you know, it's not a common, it's kind of unusual, and so people just don't gravitate to it.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bryant.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small-town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Every year, there are commercials reminding everyone to hunt safely. But the truth is, it's not up to everyone. It's up to you. Treat all firearms as if loaded. Always point the muzzle in a safe direction. Be certain of your target and what's beyond, and keep your finger outside the trigger guard until it's safe to shoot. Hunting safety is up to you. Don't just be aware of these safety measures. Follow them. Safe hunting is no accident. Learn more from the Wisconsin DNR at dnr.wi.gov.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Eye Weather Center.
This afternoon, skies will be mostly sunny with a south wind at 5 to 15, and we'll be seeing our temperatures make it into the middle 20s. Throughout tonight, we'll be seeing our skies become cloudy with the wintry mix developing. Winds will be out of the south 5 to 15 and lower 20s. And then on Saturday, we'll be seeing cloudy skies throughout the day with our winds out of the southwest 5 to 15. Highs will reach into the upper 30s. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
Mostly sunny and 15 here at AM 1320. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Again, you can reach your local investment professionals at 715-422-0700. I'm going to bring up a word that will make some people react in various ways. Obamacare.
Well, it's here, and, you know, we can't change it, so we got to deal with it. And the one thing I just wanted to bring up as it pertained to capital gains is that there's something called the net investment income tax, and this was a tax levied as a way to fund the Obamacare situation, and it really affects more of the high individual people. But those people who have adjusted gross incomes in a family type married filing jointly status of, and it's over 250,000, or individuals who make over 200,000 in adjusted gross income. The net investment tax basically is going to levy another 3.8% on your income, your dividends, your interest, your capital gains. All right, so you know that means your capital gains could go from being like 20% up to 28.5%. It means if you're in a 39% bracket, when you throw on the 9/10 of Medicare, you could be as high as 43.8%. So the point of the being is, you know, knowing your capital gains, you may have a ability to lower your capital gains and maybe get under the threshold so you don't pay 3.8% more just because you're unlucky and have been successful and made quite a bit of money.
Okay. But you got, and that's how you make money, is knowing how to take advantage of these things.
And it is. Yeah, absolutely. Being prudent gives you more money to keep invested and compound and et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, next on our list of year-end moves that we should be considering that you wanted to talk about. We're going to talk about distributions, maybe?
We're going to talk about retirement plans.
Okay, retirement. Right. Let's talk about retirement plans.
Retirement plans obviously are something that, you know, in a prioritization, if you're going to fund anything, more times than not, you should be, whether it's your 401k at work, or if you don't have a plan at work, you can do deductible IRAs. You can do what's known as a SEP plan, where you can put in more than an IRA. You can do a KEO plan, which is kind of like a pension plan. So there's a variety of different ways that you can lower your taxes, basically keep that money in your pocket to grow and use that retirement, and theoretically maybe at a lower bracket at that point in time. And so things like a KEO plan, you need to have that set up by December 31st. All right. So if you've had a good year, and again, you need to talk to your advisors, your accountants, that type of thing, to see if it's pertinent to you. But that is something that you should be looking at as a way to increase what you're going to have, and maybe allow you not to work till you're 85. All right. SEPs you can open to April 15th of next year and still get this year's stuff. IRAs you can fund is September or April 15th and things. The other thing people are an interesting concept is, you know, a lot of people love annuities. They put the money because they don't get taxed on it. But, you know, if you're a joint married filers and your adjusted incomes are under $181,000, you can contribute to a Roth. And the beauty of the Roth IRA is that you never, ever, ever will be taxed on the money you put in it or the appreciation.
Oh, okay.
You know, so whereas in a regular IRA, you get that deduction if you qualify, but you will have to eventually pay tax on when you bring it out, all right?
Okay.
And, you know, that could put you in a higher tax bracket. That could make your Social Security more of that taxable. The Roth, never, and you can pass it on, and there's no mandatory distribution. So for those of you who are married under 181 in gross income or individual under 114, the Roth would be a beautiful way to start building up a retirement fund that you gives you lots of options. You can take it, you cannot take it, you can pass it on, but there's never any tax on that particular thing. So you get tax-free growth for
right.
as long as the money's in there. So yeah, those are things if you haven't done, aren't aware of, you should be looking at as you start to do the planning, not only for this year or what you're going to do before April 15th next year, so you don't miss this opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds like that would be a heck of an opportunity.
Yeah, and you look at if you hadn't started in Roth and you're eligible, you can put in $5,500 for 2014 in January 1. You could put in $5,500 for January or for 2015. I mean, you got $11,000. Working for you, and even if you don't put anything more in there, you know, if you get 7% a year, 10 years from now, you get $22,000. So, you know, get it in there, get it working, and, you know, you just give yourself another arrow in the quiver.
Okay, okay. In terms of a lot of people start thinking about their charitable giving or how they should manage their charitable giving. You have some advice for that in terms of your year-end planning when it comes to your philanthropy?
Yeah, well, again, you know, you got a couple things there. The gift tax, whereby you can pass on so much money without any tax ramification, is that you can give $14,000 each year to an individual. So, like, if a parent or if a couple had a couple married kids and they got they have kids and it's crazy and you know they're trying to make ends meet and things like that, you know, given they could give $14,000 to the son and $14,000 to the daughter-in-law or the daughter and the son-in-law, and you know right now again when you're young and you got a lot of things going on, that money sometimes is more useful, helpful, beneficial than you wait till you die and by then their kids are out and they've been, you know, they've got their own pool of wealth and stuff. So you got that particular thing that, you know, again, strategically that's kind of a personal preference, but, you know, again, $14,000 a year for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, if your estate is over a certain thing, you lower your estate taxes, so there's more left for whoever you've designated your heirs. Now, on the charitable side, you know, the charitable side's an interesting thing, and your decisions there might be more based on your projections of this year's income and income tax bracket versus next year's income and income tax bracket. Because, say, next year you're in for a big raise, or you're in a bonus, or your options vest, and you're going to make more money. You know you're going to make more money. So you may want to wait to and double up in 2015 because you can write your charitable deductions off, and since you're making more money, again, you get the effect of writing it off and lowering your income tax consequently, and vice versa. If you know this year you got some perks, you got a good bonus, you got whatever, and next year may not be as good, then you may want to make a bigger contribution this year so that you get that deduction this year and things. So there's a little, again, it starts with your personal preference and, you know, your love for the charity or your, you know, support of that. But there is some timing issues there that you might be more beneficial if you wait to January 1st or if you make sure you get this thing dated 12/31.
What about other types of savings accounts, like your health savings account? Or your college fund accounts and the like, or anything in those areas that people need to be?
For those people who are involved with 529s, which is the probably one of the most beneficial college saving program there is, you know, in the state of Wisconsin, you get a $3,000 tax deduction on your state taxes if you fund up to $3,000. So depending on the level of contributions, they'll let you write off up to $3,000. So doing it in 1231 obviously it qualifies you for that deduction, which is, again, very instrumental, and, you know, that helps your return. I mean, if, you, again, you're in a 33% bracket, you get a 33, you get a in the state, you're probably at 6%-ish. So, you know, it saves you $180, and you have that money put away, and you'll never pay tax on it if it all goes to college. So that is one that 1231 is a big date. And the other one is, as we know now, November 15th being the reopening of the healthcare parade and 700 options and things like that. You know, I think if you're doing an analysis, one of the things, because it seems like all the plans, the premiums are pretty high, and the deductibles are high, and it's just, you know, a different cloth. But, you know, the HSA, which is the health savings account, essentially gives you a really twofold nice way. You get a deduction for the contribution, so you can put $3,300 if you're under 50 into your account and your wife account. If you both have individual health care policies, if you got a family policy, you can put it $6,550 in. If in fact you are over 50, you can put $4,300 or up to $8,600 away, get the deduction, and then get to pay your bills, your medical bills, from that HSA, all right?
Okay.
Which you got the deduction, you pay your bills, so again, you're paying 67 cents on the dollar for your bills, because you've gotten the deduction, you've got this pool of money, and if you don't use it, you can accumulate it. So you can use it, and ultimately at some point you can use it for other things in healthcare, but for now, you know, it should be healthcare related. So that is a really significant deal, because, you know, most HSAs, $2,500 or $3,000, you can get up to $5,000 deductibles. But having that money already put away, you're good, you know.
Okay.
And if you don't need it, it just accumulates. You can put in another contribution there and gives you a little more money to use somewhere in your medical history, your medical career.
Okay. Well, bottom line is now's the time to start getting your stuff together. I mean, you're going to benefit financially in the long run if you are prepared, rather than rushing on April 15th.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we decided to do this topic today, because you still, with the eight, we got, 9 days in November, we got 31, so you got 40 days, of which, you know, some of the selling and buying back, you only got, you know, you got more like 10 days to get some of that done. But it does make a difference. And if you like to pay Uncle Sam money, don't do anything. If you like to keep a little more money in your pockets and make good decisions that allow you to do that, you know, you got a window here that you should, A, look at it over, B, contact your accountant, C, contact your financial advisors, get their input, and see if there's some money to be saved or earned.
Yeah. Don't go based on rumor, innuendo, or something you read on the internet, or heard some pitchman on late night TV.
Yeah, and you know, I think quite frankly, that was what differentiates, you know, good advisors versus advisors that aren't as good. You know, the ability to step out and make you aware. You may not do it, you may do it, but being aware is the first step in being able to make good decisions.
Okay. Well, Pete, a very interesting show as always, and I'm sure our listeners appreciate the advice this morning. You and everybody at Buena Vista have a happy and safe Thanksgiving.
Well, same to you. As always, it's great, and we appreciate the opportunities to give us to try and educate our audience.
Okay. Well, take care and have a great weekend. And with that, we'll wrap up this edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry.
This is Laura Ingram.